Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
There's nothing worse than wearing clothes that don't fit right. That's why Tomboy X makes size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. Queer founded and run for over 10 years, you can trust they know a thing or two about making the perfect pair. Feel comfortable in your own skin. Shop online today and use code IHEART for 20% off your first purchase. Only at TomboyX.com. Tomboy X. Fit for you just as you are.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Oh, it could happen here, is the podcast. We're talking about things falling apart. And you know, a place where things have fallen apart a bit is large chunks of Ukraine due to a Russian invasion. And, you know, we've chatted about this a bit on the show. We've had some interviews with some folks who are living and fighting over there. And today we're going to talk with Jake Hanrahan, a friend of the pod, who has been over a couple of times this year, including since the more expanded conflict began, and has just released a new documentary on the Popular Front YouTube called Ukraine's Anti-Fascist Football Hooligans Fighting the Russian Invasion. Jake, how you doing?
Hello, mate. Thanks for having me back.
Thanks for being on. Now, Jake, first off, I guess we can get into YouTube censorship stuff, but I want to chat about like how this story came about and when you kind of got in contact with these people, because kind of in brief, what you have, you know, the Cliff's Notes that you hear from like folks who have kind of an axe to grind is that like, you know, Ukraine is all neo-Nazis and the government's all run by neo-Nazis. And the reality is that Ukraine obviously has a substantial Nazi problem. And as with any country where you have a substantial Nazi problem and some degree of freedom in terms of, you know, your ability to organize for other political purposes, you also have a shitload of people who are anti-fascists and who have been fighting those fascists in the street, often with intense levels of violence. And this is a story about a group of those people who have now kind of retooled their organization and capacity towards fighting the Russian invasion.
Yeah, man, exactly that. I mean, so what I wanted to do with Popular Front, you know, I've been reporting from Ukraine since 2016. I've been there more than 10 times on the ground in the Donbass, like way before, you know, people were focused on the area again, before the invasion. So I was very aware of, yeah, there is a significant fascist element to the militias out there. But it's the same. Any country in Europe that would have a war would have the exact same thing. Trust me, if we had it in Britain, we would have a similar issue. You know, Eastern Europe, obviously, it's a little bit more hardcore, but that's the way it is. That's Eastern Europe for you. And I will mention just at the top as well, I would argue that Russia has a much worse neo-Nazi problem. They had more than 15 people were killed between 2014 and 2015 by an actual neo-Nazi serial killer gang in Moscow that filmed these attacks. They have a massive neo-Nazi party. You know, they're exporting Nazis all across Europe. And we know there are several, you know, well-trained neo-Nazi battalions fighting for the pro-Russians. So it's neither here nor there. Yes, there's Nazi problems in the region. But I didn't want to constantly be on this back foot of like, no, actually, yes, there's a Nazi problem, but not this, not that. I was like, how can we do a documentary that's kind of a positive way to be like, well, instead of saying, no, not everyone is this, or having to film with a unit and then being like, actually, these guys are fascists. How can I show, you know, like, how can I show?
Black sun patches are uncomfortable.
Yeah, right? Like, uh-oh, a Totenkopf again. Yeah. Like, you know, so it was like, how can I kind of put a doc out there where it's like, oh, no, actually, like, here's a different side to it. And, you know, this group, obviously, as soon as the war started, again, Ukraine is a country of 44 million people, and it's a very diverse, a very smart, very open country in terms of people will tell you what they think and they will argue with you, and you won't be, you know, you can have like really serious discussions with people about politics there and not fall out, you know. So they're very, I think, like a very clever people, a really nice people. I love Ukraine, love Ukrainians. So it's, to me, it was, I knew about the place. It was like, yeah, of course there's a massive anti-fascist element in Ukraine. Okay, it's definitely smaller than the fascist element, but already since the war started, there's Eco Platform, there's Kharkiv Hardcore, there's the Resistance Committee, there's Hordes Hordes Clan, there's Operation Solidarity, like there's a Nesta Makhno machine gun repair unit. Like there's so many different anti-fascist left-wing elements to the conflict. They just get a lot less attention because the fascists have got really good at propaganda over the years.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, a lot of the fascist groups are fighting in the East. And right now,
that's
it's kind
of... That's
the hardest
combat, yeah.
Well, it's all hands on deck, right? It's like, Everyone's like, yeah, okay, we don't really care. Like, we just want to not die, which is understandable. So my point is, I looked at this group, the Resistance Committee, which is this kind of anti-authoritarian, you know, coalition of various different units. They have Revdia under their wing, which is an anarchist group in Ukraine that I made a documentary with a few years ago. So I was looking, oh, maybe we'll do a doc on Revdia again now that they're fighting on the front. But then I see this other group with them, Hordes Hordes Clan. And it's like, what? Who? Like, firstly, the name is kind of weird.
Secondly, US, that brings up some unpleasant connotations.
In the US, yeah. I mean, it didn't really click to me, but I get it.
What does like Hordes mean?
So basically, when they would go and do, you know, when they would go and beat up fascists, they'd all be like, right, hoods up, hoods, hoods, hoods.
Oh, gotcha, because you're like putting your hoodie up so you don't get like spotted on camera.
Exactly,
so
quick,
sure,
hoods.
Yeah,
put the hoods up. There's footage of them beating up Nazis as well, chanting. They had a chant, hoods, 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 like, you know, to put the fucking fear into them. Like,
yeah,
hey,
that's
coming.
Dope as hell, yeah.
Yeah, and then clan, I mean, the Ukrainian translation of clan, it's with a K. It's not about the Ku Klux Klan, you know.
It's just also, kind of anglicization can lead to some unfortunate things.
Right,
yeah, no,
right.
I get it. Yeah.
But also, you know, they're smart guys. And at first I thought this wasn't true, but then I spoke to them. It was true. They were kind of aware. They're like, HHK, Hordes Hordes Klan. They're kind of trolling KKK. Like, it's like a second meaning. Because in Ukraine, you know, they've got that culture. They're very cheeky. They think it's very funny to be like, ha-ha, you know, fuck you. For them, they were like, yeah, we're basically trolling the fascists. Like, they hear Hordes Hordes Klan and they're like, oh, surprise, sorry, we're anti-fascists. You know what I mean?
Right.
Boom, your head's broken. So it was kind of that vibe. And, you know, they didn't really think about it. And when I asked Anton, you know, he's like the kind of de facto leader. He was like, he told me this. And then he was like, I just kind of wanted to piss people off as well. And you got to remember, these guys started over 10 years ago before, you know, politics was as online as it is. And they started off in the hardcore punk scene. Now, you know, I'm sure you know, like, you know, hardcore punk, especially in Europe, is like a very, very exciting, very fun, very happy and like gnarly fucking scene. So for them, it was like, yeah, we're the Hordes Hordes Klan. Like, you know what I mean? But unfortunately, some people in America are like, why are they called Hordes Hordes Klan? I don't believe that they're anti-fascists. It's like, mate, there's over 70 videos of them beating up Nazis successfully.
Well, but, it's a whole continent that doesn't have the same history as the United States, right? You can't assume.
I mean,
Yeah.
I mean, even if you said in England, like KKK, like now people would be like, who? Oh, yeah. Like, I've heard of that. It's not like we didn't have it here like that, you know?
Yeah, and it's one of those. So, I mean, one of the things that's interesting here that you hit on in your documentary is like these folk, that these are not just like anti-authoritarian folks. They're very much committed to anti-racism, which is, you know, a place like Ukraine where the history of there being, you know, folks who are not white is not quite as extensive as it is in a lot of places. It's really interesting to me to have people who are kind of organizing specifically for that purpose. And I think really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it is really cool. And it's for them, what I found very fascinating is it's just natural. So, you know, yeah. I said, you know, their political ideology, some of them are like, well, some of us are anarchists. Some of us are kind of anti-fascist, but otherwise kind of apolitical. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when it's very simple for them. It's like, why are you? I asked them, well, how come you guys are anti-fascist? And they're like, well, we just see life differently. Like, you know, yeah. It's like, obviously, like there was no big political theory. It was just like, no, it's just basically they were like, it's just wrong. You know, like fascism is just wrong. Yeah. And we're tough guys, you know, and we joined. We wanted to be the ones that said, no, we're not the fascists. We're the anti-fascists. And luckily for them, they had a really good friendship group and a very solid group who were all very good at combat sports. And like in the doc, you know, Anton says our enemies is almost every other Ukrainian football firm in the whole of the country. But you will ask even their enemies, they will tell you like, yeah, unfortunately, those guys are tough. You know, they can fight, you know.
They would have to be.
So yeah, exactly. They had to be. They were like, we had to be, you know. So, I mean, I do my research. I found a kind of a fascist football ultras forum in Eastern Europe that banned any mention of Hudshud's clan. And it kind of boiled down to the fact they were just so embarrassed that so many of the fascist groups were getting beaten up like by anti-fascists and often outnumbered. You know, it even got to a point where Hudshud's clan weren't allowed to, they wouldn't even talk to them to do like arranged fights anymore in the field. So instead of quitting, Hudshud's clan said, okay, then when we see you, we'll just beat you up in the subway. We'll beat you up in the street. Like, you know, and a lot of people might say, oh, well, this is violence. For me, the football hooliganism side of it, I don't see an issue with it personally. I mean, they're not attacking anyone innocent. They're not attacking bystanders. It was all very contained. It was all very, you know, that was their thing, you know. So that to me is whatever. And when you're talking about neo-Nazi groups that were, I mean, in Ukraine, they've stabbed up the Roma community. They're destroying LGBT events. Sure. And, you know, Hudson's clan were just like, nah, we're not about that. We don't think you should do that. And so they formed. And for 10 years, they were fighting. But now they have called a truce because they're like, you know, Anton explains in the doc. He says, look, there's a bigger problem now. Because Ukraine is actually not a Nazi junta, as the Kremlin says. It's actually quite easy to kind of, you know, it's a very small subset in the relative size of the actual military. So, you know, it's actually for them, they said, well, yeah, it makes sense. We put all our other political differences aside because this is way bigger. You're talking about one of the most powerful militaries on earth invading our country and killing our people. I mean, we've seen the massacres in Bucha, in Irpin. You know, people killed, civilians, hands behind their back, executed in the street. 30 of the people killed in Bucha were children. Yep. Like, you know, this is just insane. So for them, they were like, yeah, we can call a truce. You know, we don't like them, but right now we're not going to beat each other up on the front line. But I think it really kind of shows the testament of how serious Hudshud's clan are about the anti-fascism, that even whilst in the truce, most of them actually still joined the resistance committee, the anti-authoritarian groups. So they're not just directly next to fascist battalions. But again, you know, a lot is changing out there on the front now. I don't know. Anton said to me, he was like, I'll be honest with you. Like, we didn't put this in the doc. He said, I'll be honest. I think after this war, a lot of these far right guys might change their mind because now we see what totalitarianism brings. Death, you know what I mean? Whether that's wishful thinking or not, I'm not sure. But you know what I'm saying?
Because obviously, I would hope that that's what happens. But
I tend to doubt it. But
The thing that scares me, of course, is there's just at least as much a chance that, you know, they get more powerful. Which is again part of why it's important for folks like Hudshud's clan to be organizing and getting weapons and being prepared. Because if that conflict comes after the war, you know, you don't want the fascist militias to be the best armed and most organized.
Yeah. And this is the issue, you know, but I think for them, it's like, okay, we'll deal with that when it comes, you know, like I think they're very aware that this war is going nowhere, you know, and, you know, they say in our doc, oh, we just want to go and kill Russian pigs. I mean, you know, what they mean is I mean, some people were like, "Well, that's really bad." I was like, "Mate, you're talking about they were in, man.
Yeah.
It's a war, right? they were guarding the areas where the massacres happened. You know, Hutsu's clan got shelled trying to get civilians out of Borodanka when Russians were shelling. You're talking women and children. Yeah, I'm surprised they said that mildly. You know, like it's a war, man. It is what it is. And also, they're football hooligans. They're wild people. You know.
Yeah, it's I mean, that is kind of interesting, though. I'm curious. Do you have kind of an assessment of what kind of numbers they're looking at, like how many folks they've actually got in the field on a regular basis?
Yeah, so the resistance committee is, I don't know, like 50 to 100 right now. Hutsu's clan, they have like maybe 20 to 30 of their guys in that group. But then they also have other people that join different units in the east. So they were like already military. So they didn't have to go, you know, form a militia. They just joined the military. So there's like quite a strong Hutsu's clan mortar group. And I know that, so one of the footage we included in our documentary where a Russian tank gets blown up, like very close quarters, he gets hit with a javelin. He's like 100 feet away. That was a Hutsu's clan attack. That was one of their guys doing it, you know?
Yeah.
So they're all over the place. Unfortunately, due to various bureaucracy within the territorial defense, I do think that the resistance committee might have to split up to actually get to the front. You know what I mean? Like they're probably going to have to join other units because there's some issues that the, you know, various people, they're just not sending them out there. It's not because they're anti-fascist or anything. It's nothing to do with that. It's because, you know, it's corruption, man. There's some corruption emerging. Some commanders just want to sit around and not actually have to go to the front. Whereas, you know, the fighters themselves are desperate because they're like, you know, our people are dying. We want to avenge them and we want to stop it. So, you know, right now, Hutsu's clan are essentially on their way. They're doing a lot more training right now. They've been given the go ahead. Yeah, they're going to the east. And as far as I know, they're kind of en route, obviously stopping off doing training. I think they have they're going to be an RPG unit. So they'll be at very close quarters. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, it's going to be gnarly for them.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Is your underwear in need of a refresh? Meet Tomboy X, makers of the original boxer briefs for women, queer founded and queer run. Tomboy X designs sustainable, gender inclusive underwear and apparel in sizes 3 extra small to 6 extra large. Use code IHEART at checkout for 20% off your first purchase only at tomboyx.com. Shop now on tomboyx.com.
You these guys, as you stated, all kind of started out as a fringe group, right? Like they weren't, this isn't a political party. These aren't like, these guys didn't start as ideological comrades. They were like buddies who were into the same team and into the same kind of combat sports. And now they're, you know, they're going to be, some of them are going to be dying in front of the others, which is like a difficulty, I think. I'm interested in kind of how are they actually organizing sort of in the field? Or is it just, as I've heard of a number of like militia units kind of along the lines of the Ukrainian military, or have they kind of adopted different organizational styles in their hoods units as befits sort of their unique kind of origins?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, I mean, it's kind of tricky because essentially they're, you know, I guess they formed as a militia, you know, as soon as the war started, they got guns. But then, you know, Anton was like, we have everything from the anti-fascist networks, everything we need apart from the weapons. So they had to sign up as a part of the territorial defense to get weapons. So they're under the territorial defense, as are, you know, 100 other different people that did the same thing. So luckily for Woodward's clan, I think because they're so close friends, I mean, you can see it in the doc, you know, I even the subtitle of our doc is like, you know, this is a film about friendship, violence and resistance, because that's essentially what it is, you know. Yeah. So they're very close friends. So commanders have recognized that yeah, this is a group that is disciplined as well. A lot of them are straight edge, which is actually a discipline in itself. You know what I mean? So they're very well disciplined. They're very good. You know, the training's very good. They know what they're doing, but they have like a commander that is from the territorial defense, if you like. It's not, he's not Hood's Hood's clan. They've ever been assigned a commander sort of thing. So they're being taught just the same kind of tactics as anybody else. As they're an RPG unit, I think, you know, there'll be a lot of close quarters stuff, but they're just doing a lot of arms training. There's, you know, Constantine and the doc, one of them, he's like, I just want to get better, faster. They're very focused on being like, not an elite unit, but they want to get it perfect. They're not just like, yeah, let's go and kill. They're like, no, we have to be good. You know what I mean? We have to go in there and have the same discipline and organization as we had in the streets when we were fighting. There was a reason that they were renowned as being a good street fighting football hooligan firm, despite being completely outnumbered. It's because they had good discipline. They're tough. They trained. And also because they're good friends. They all have each other's back. It's not a hobby for them. It's a lifestyle, you know? Yeah, it's just so much went into it. You know, Hood's Hood's clan started off the back of anti-fascist punk hardcore in Ukraine. And then that itself was a scene. And then the football hooliganism. And then, yeah, and now it's crazy, really. It's honestly one of the most fascinating stories I've covered. Now they're a fucking frontline unit, you know. It's sad, man. I hope to God nothing happens to any of them. Probably the nicest guys I've filmed with, you know. It's a good question, man, and it's very tricky to know how it's going to happen for them once they're on the front. I mean, Anton, the main guy, he has served before in 2014. He joined a militia to fight in the Donbass, so they do have some experience, you know.
And it does seem like kind of their natural, the skills that they've been developing, because there's broadly speaking, from my understanding, kind of two main types of combat going on in Ukraine. There's the what you're seeing a lot in, you know, the Donbass, which is this kind of like meat grinder, like frontline shit. And then there's sort of the seek and destroy kind of stuff where you've got people sort of hunting convoys and doing ambushes. And it does strike me like these guys' talents would lend themselves more to the ambushes than, I mean, there's not really any talent that helps you in the sitting in a trench meat grinder kind of shit. But obviously you don't have that choice when you're serving under, you know, the national military.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're right. Like they would be much better placed as like a, you know, I guess like a kind of shoot and scoot kind of unit.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
I think they will be because, you know, they're trained with RPG. Some of their fighters already have javelins on the front and N-laws. So yeah, I think that's where it'll be. If they just put them in some kind of meat grinder position, which very much could happen, you know, I mean, it's bad for anybody. Let's be realistic. It's getting very bad in the Donbass right now.
It's a nightmare. I mean, and that's one of there's been posts and stuff from people talking about like, you know, a lot of the fuck ups that are happening. Cause you know, Ukraine started this war with everyone being kind of, overwhelmed by the competence of their military effort. And now that things in the Donbass have turned into this kind of ugly slog, there's been some, you know, the units getting hit by their own artillery fire, the kind of messy stuff that happens when you have a fight like this, right? Like it is unavoidable when you have like a situation like has developed in the Donbass, but that doesn't make it any less unpleasant to endure as an actual soldier. Like it's one of those. I mean, there's only so much that like competence and training can do if you wind up getting squeezed into that kind of position.
Yeah, and this is why a lot of people are. Even Ukrainians actually had a conversation with a Ukrainian friend yesterday that was saying, like, you know, the situation is so bad in the East. We really need to be honest about this because, you know, if people think it's going better than it is, okay, it's good for morale, but it's not good for the guys on the ground. Like, no. They're not going to get what they need. And the reality is that it's getting really bad. And it's not anything to do with incompetence from the fighters. It's just the war. The level is getting so hot. And, you know, Russia has learned from its mistakes, unfortunately, from the start, where they completely fucked up. But now, you know, things are getting a little bit hairy. Ukrainians are doing like an incredible effort. But again, it's like, you're talking about decades and decades of armor and, you know, weapons that Russia has. And it's all very well, US being like, oh, 20% of their armor is blah, blah. I doubt it. You know, I very much doubt that. It doesn't look like that, certainly from when people I'm talking to in the East, you know. So I think, again, when you know, Ukrainians are like, well, we do need more weapons, it's because they need more weapons. You know what I mean? They really do.
Well, this is like one of the things that's difficult to, I think, get across to people because there is such a, you know, we are dealing with the legacy of decades of shipping weapons places and not having that help the conflict in a lot of ways and decades of stories like, you know, all the weapons that got sent to the Iraqi government and then wound up in ISIS's armory and shit, which creates kind of an easy narrative for folks who are like, well, you know, you're just trying to prolong the conflict and making it worse by shipping in weapons. But the reality is one side of this war has a substantial percentage of all of the artillery that exists on the planet. And the other side does not.
I do understand that argument, though. Like, I totally get it. Yeah. But I
lived through the early 2000s as well. Right. I understand it. Yeah.
But it's like war isn't a template. It's not like, well, because this happened there, this will happen there. Or whatever. And it's like, you have to weigh it up. No matter what, bad is going to come from this. Do you want the bad to be, okay, there's a problem with arms in Eastern Ukraine, Eastern Europe, which there already is, and it gets worse? Or do you want the bad problem to be Russia's taken over the whole country, massacred everybody, and is undoubtedly going to try and move into other countries?
Yeah,
it's like, do you want AIDS? Or do you want cancer? I don't know. You know what I mean?
And do you want the lesson from this to be that if you're just willing to burn a couple of 100,000 human lives as a state like Russia or any other state, you can easily gain access to, you know, a pile of wealth, right, in the shape of a country, which isn't a positive – it's not like a good lesson for anyone to take out of this. But like if Russia wins, that's the lesson, right? Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's the reality. Like, it's all very nice having a 50-tweet Twitter thread about why this, that, and the third should or shouldn't happen, but that's just completely removed from real life. I mean, real life is it's going to be very bad, very nasty, no matter what happens, and you just have to weigh it. Oh, I don't like NATO. Oh, I don't like this. Yeah, me neither, but I care about people that die for no reason. You know, like, I think that's the real issue. I think people need to stand with the people, you know, and if that means, okay, use the tools that you have, okay, like, oh, well, I don't like NATO. Well, yeah, but they're going to give them weapons. Do you think that Ukrainians like having Russian firearms? Probably not, but they also don't give a shit because they shoot. Yeah. It's that simple, you know?
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
There's nothing worse than wearing clothes that don't fit right. That's why Tomboy X makes size and gender-inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. Queer-founded and run for over 10 years, you can trust they know a thing or two about making the perfect pair. Feel comfortable in your own skin. Shop online today and use code IHEART for 20% off your first purchase. Only at TomboyX.com. Tomboy X. Fit for you just as you are.
Kind of coming back to the subject of your documentary, if weapons are going to be going over there, and by God they are, I would hope that as many of them as possible are going into the hands of people like the Hoods clan, right?
There's definitely, this isn't from them telling me, but it's just from research I've done. There's definitely a discrepancy in terms of which groups get what weapons.
Oh, yes.
And it's not based on ideology, but it's definitely based on some serious bureaucracy that needs to be sorted out. You know, I have some Western volunteers that I know that are on the front right now, and they're saying, like, for some reason, you know, one unit that is not an RPG unit, for example, will have more rockets than the RPG unit. You know, and it's like, yeah. What? Like, and that's not because they've used them all. It's supply lines are... Again, it's not even corruption often. It's just supply lines are wrecked or whatever, but it has to be addressed. It has to be looked at. I mean, I'm no tactician. I don't know anything about that side of things. I'm just basing it on what, you know, people are telling me because, you know, I like to talk to them and hear what's happening.
Yeah. I think we should move into, you know, when I pull up your documentary on YouTube, which is, again, for folks at home, titled Ukraine's Anti-Fascist Football Hooligans Fighting the Russian Invasion. The first thing that I see is this video may be inappropriate for some users.
Right.
Fascists. Yeah. Well, and we've talked a lot on our various shows on this network about all of the fascist propaganda that you can find, not even find on YouTube, that will be like spoon fed to you if you wind up like watching a video game review or something.
Oh, yeah.
This is something that you've been dealing with on Popular Front. Somebody seems to have like an axe to grind with you guys. I don't know. Maybe it's just the algorithm, but
I'll be honest. I felt like it was just the algorithm until this recent one, right? So yeah, like you said, if people want to fight, I mean, the doc's called Frontline Hooligan, but yeah, as for SEO, it's Ukraine's anti-fascist fighting Russian invasion. But yeah, the second it was uploaded, it got age restricted. Now that to me is very odd. I don't get why there's no gore in it. There's violence, but there's a guideline where you can show violence in if it's relative to reporting, which obviously it is because it's an anti-fascist football hooligan firm fighting Russia. So of course we're going to show what that looks like. But yeah, there's no gore. It's just lads hanging out talking about their lives now that have been tipped upside down and how they really dislike the far right. Now, to give you an idea of how messed up this is, there's a real parasite YouTuber. He's called Danny Mullen, and he has a video on YouTube where him and his friend, both of them scoundrels, go to the Mexican border, and the whole video is trying to get with, quote, like hot Ukrainian refugees. Now, it's the most disgusting thing you've ever seen. They're preying on young girls. Some of them are very clearly underage. And that is monetized. That is monetized, and it is even on the algorithm. I found it because I was watching Ukraine war stuff, and it was put onto my recommended. Now, these are the biggest parasites you've ever seen in your life. And they have hundreds and hundreds of thousands of subscribers, and they're making money from content like that. That is not age restricted. There is no censorship thing. There is no message saying this might be offensive. But a documentary, which is 100% journalistic, covering anti-fascists fighting one of the worst invasions we've seen in Europe, is suddenly deemed inappropriate and is age restricted on YouTube. Tell me what's going on there. That doesn't seem right to me. So basically, YouTube, by doing that, is saying we're actually happy to make money off of people that exploit underage Ukrainian refugees, but we're not happy for people showing the world a different side to the war. That to me is madness. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me, you know? And it's nothing but soft censorship. Some people are telling me it's not censorship. Of course it is censorship. This is the way the world works now.
Yeah, because I mean, a huge chunk of the success or the visibility of anything that you're putting on YouTube is whether or not the algorithm is going to like suggest it to people, even exactly. People who have watched your other, like, not even talking about like suggesting it to somebody who's never heard of Popular Front, but like people who have watched multiple things that you've done and are just on YouTube. The thing that would make sense is for when you put out a new thing, them to get like YouTube to be like, hey, we know you've watched this shit, check out this. But that's not going to happen for a lot of folks because of this kind of thing, which is, yeah, fucked up.
Yeah, yeah, right. And it's like, it's not just me either. Like, I mean, it's other people it's happening
to
as well.
Yeah.
And basically what it is if we wanted to make the doc somehow be allowed to be monetized or not even monetized. I don't even want the monetization. The whole channel is demonetized. I just want it to not be age restricted because that is an algorithm torpedo. And, you know, it's like I would have to recut the whole documentary, essentially censor myself, my own journalism, make the integrity of the doc weaker. Just to be able people to see it. Like, this is war. This is real life. It's just really depressing, you know?
And this is something, I mean, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook have all been guilty of degrees of this, but there's this, of all of the things that don't, that are allowed to spread unchecked on those platforms, they have this consistent, maybe because it's easier to algorithmically go after, but this consistent pattern of going after war journalism. And like your, you know, what's happening to your documentary is a piece of this, but like the much scarier piece is a tremendous amount of documentation of war crimes in places like Syria have been deleted kind of automatically over the years, which means that, like, again, evidence of crimes against humanity has been lost forever because of these kind of like purges of war content that I don't think are actually protecting anybody from anything, but are in perhaps even making things worse.
Yeah, of course. And it allows, look, Russian propaganda or whatever, like, people are going to seek that out and they're going to digest it way they can. So then surely you should say, okay, take the brakes off. Let's, you know, if you care, which, I mean, YouTube is a media platform. You would think that they would say, okay, well, this is kind of our duty to balance it out, to allow all the free information. I'm not even saying, oh yeah, throttle Russian propaganda. I think people have a choice to see whatever they want to see, even if it is completely ridiculous. But the fact that they're censoring the stuff that you would think is okay to see, because for I know, you know, our content, you won't find a lie in that documentary, you know?
No.
We're very honest, very frank with the situation. We're not whitewashing fascism in Ukraine. And we're certainly not putting out Russian propaganda. We're just telling an interesting journalistic story. So you would think as a media platform, that would be like, yeah, right up their street. But it's not really a media platform. It's a money-making platform. And, you know, they just survive for adverts.
Yep. And I think that is kind of where we're gonna leave off for today. Unless do you have anything else you wanted to get into on your documentary, Jake?
No, man. I guess the last thing I would say is I want people to kind of know that there are many different factions out there. This isn't, you know, I saw someone comment being like, "Oh, you found the only fascist and anti-fascist in Ukraine." It's like, no, I've been documenting them. There's thousands.
Yeah.
There's so many, you know, and not just like, oh, anti-fascist. Yeah, this is what we believe. Like, people form in units. There's a whole pipeline of anti-authoritarian activists. There's loads. And generally, like, Ukrainians are happy, you know, they'll take the help they can get. It's not like Ukrainians are like, God damn those anti-fascists. No, they love them. They love them the same way they love anybody that's defending the country. You know, it's just normal. And I think people should really, you know, if they want to watch our doc as well, like if they can share it, that would be great, because it's just very, it's a struggle to get people to watch it now because it's been torpedoed on the algorithm. So if they go to youtube.com/popularfront, they'll find it. It's the first doc there. But yeah, if people can share it, that'd be great.
All right. Well, check it out. Again, the title is Ukraine's Anti-Fascist Football Hooligans Fighting the Russian Invasion on the Popular Front YouTube channel. We're also going to have a link in the bio if you are someone who doesn't like type things. Yeah. Thank you, Jake.
Really appreciate it.
All right, everybody. That's the episode.
It Could Happen Here is a production of Cool Zone Media. For more podcasts from Cool Zone Media, visit our website, coolzonemedia.com, or check us out on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can find sources for It Could Happen Here updated monthly at coolzonemedia.com/sources. Thanks for listening.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. It's a literal pro, and it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Is your underwear in need of a refresh? Meet Tomboy X, makers of the original boxer briefs for women, queer founded and queer run. Tomboy X designs sustainable, gender inclusive underwear and apparel in sizes 3XS to 6XL. Use code IHEART at checkout for 20% off your first purchase only at tomboyx.com. Shop now on tomboyx.com.
You dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more information. Info now